According to the latest survey conducted by the Social Weather Station, or SWS, confidence in the government by Filipinos is at a whopping 73%. Now, that's fantastic news, I'm sure, to the government of President Noynoy, and understandably, it had a confidence-boosting effect on his government and his cabinet. Now, polls and surveys have a place in determining where the sentiments of the citizens are at any time, but the danger with survey is that it may mislead people who are simply expressing their sentiment, and it may mislead the people in government who may mistake popularity for validity in policies. And those are two different things. Something very popular may yet prove very wrong, and vice versa. Something unpopular may be the very right thing to do in the governance of a nation. And we need to distinguish those two things. We need this perspective as we come to this last stage of the year and we make an assessment of what it has been like. Where are we at? We ask ourselves. And where are we at in terms of our experience of God? Nasaan tayo ngayon sa bagay na may kinalaman sa ating karanasan ng Diyos? Sa bagay na may kinalaman sa kanyang panawagan sa atin? Nasaan tayo ngayon sa ating relasyon dito sa mundo, in the world around us? Perhaps when you look at this year, you look back to this year, many good things have happened. But are we right with God in life and in our heart? On the other hand, it may be that you look at this year, 2010, and you might say, what a mess. Bad things happened. But has God abandoned us? Those are legitimate questions to ask. And one thing to assess this year by is to see where we are at in our relationship to God and where is God to us in terms of our consciousness of His presence and working. And in this month, I will borrow the words of a well-liked hymn which we just sang as an umbrella to describe what should be every Christian's confession concerning this year. Great is thy faithfulness. Now those words, while words of the hymn, are also the exact words of Scripture. And every part of our series this month, brief as it is, will borrow a line from that hymn to guide our meditation and examination. Now, if you do not already know, you might be wondering what sort of condition would evoke this language of morning by morning, new mercies I see. Anong condition kaya nang nagsasabi ng umaga ay nakikita ko ang kanyang maraming kahabagan? It sounds that this person, whoever is saying this, must be in the best of circumstances. Ano kayang kalagayan niya? Siguro'y malusog, nanalo ng loto, o ano pa mang maaring kalagayan niya, siguro'y masarap. And if that is our idea of the man who will say these very words, nothing could be further from the truth. On the contrary, if polls were done then, at the time that these words were said, this was one of the cursed times of the people of God. And yet, it was on that occasion these words were said. Turn your Bibles to Lamentations chapter 3, verses 19-24. Lamentations chapter 3. Lamentations after Jeremiah, before Ezekiel, chapter 3, verses 19-24. Remember my affliction and roaming, the wormwood and the gall. My soul still remembers and sinks within me. This I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. Through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I hope in Him. Now, the book of Lamentations is one of the more intricately structured books of the Old Testament. Masusi ang pagkakaayos nitong book na itong aklat ng panaghoy. Meron ditong four alphabetic acrostics. Yung unang apat nitong kabanata ay mga acrostic na ginamit yung abakada ng Hebreo. At bawat letra ng Hebreo ay ginamit na paunang letra doon sa bawat talata. And so, in other words, the writer arranged his materials so systematically and so poetically, and there must be the purpose of retention. Gusto niyang masaulo ng kanyang mga bumabasa yung mga sinasabi niya rito. And the most complicated of all is chapter 3, because in this chapter, as you can see, 66 verses in all, every 3 verses ay ito yung sinimula ng isang Hebrew letter. At magkakasunod-sunod sa abakada ng Hebreo. And the heart of this is our passage, verses 19 to 24. So I'm saying that this is intricately arranged and structured for the purpose of poetic retention. And this passage we read is the heart of it all. This was written, as I've said, in one of the cursed times for the people of God. So if we conjecture o hinulaan natin na ang magsasabi ng morning by morning, new mercies I see, ay napakasarap ng kalagayan. Ito po ang kalagayan ng isulat ang mga katagang ito. The time was the captivity of Judah under Babylon. As Jeremiah warned in the previous generation, and in fact many believe that this Book of Lamentations, although anonymous, must have been written by Jeremiah. At least tradition holds that these are the lamentations of Jeremiah. But the point is that this was not the best of times at all. Even our text expresses the bitterness of the writer. He says, "My soul sinks within me." There was a sinking feeling. But then what jumps out of the text is the expression of confidence and optimism. There is the language of hope amidst trials and bitterness. There is the language of optimism. And the words that inspired the hymn that we just sang, "His mercies are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness." I have this simple message which I trust we use to assess the year 2010. Every day, there are evidences of God's faithfulness through His mercies to evoke our faith. Every day there are evidences of God's faithfulness through His mercies to evoke our faith. Araw-araw ay may mga ebidensya ng kanyang katapatan ng Diyos sa pamamagitan ng marami niyang kahabagan upang pukawin ang ating pananampalataya. Kaya kung tatanungin natin, ako bilang mananampalataya, anong nangyari sa akin sa taong 2010? Maaring marami tayong masabi na magandang bagay o mga mabigat na bagay. Maaring gumawa tayo ng column, left-hand column, good things, right-hand column, bad things, and we try to weigh which is weightier. Well, let us not assess it in that way. Instead, we think in terms of the character of God as the writer here does. Now, let me say this, that we are not simply piling up words of God, about God's character, such as His faithfulness and mercy. As a teacher of theology, one important part of my curriculum is a careful study of what is called God's attributes. Isang mahalagang pag-aaral sa Diyos ay maingat na pinagbubukod-bukod at pinaghahambing-hambing ang kanyang mga karakter. Napakahalaga po niyan para talagang makilala natin ang Diyos. Here we see faithfulness. Faithfulness is that character of God that tells you He will be true to His covenant word and promise. Pag sinabi natin katapatan ng Diyos, hindi ito general na katapatan na ginagamit natin in terms of honesty. You know, we can be honestly wrong. I'm trying to be honest, but then I can be honestly wrong. Well, that is not what faithfulness means. Faithfulness means He gives a covenant, He pledges His word, and He will be true to His word. That's God's faithfulness. But now try to say that to the generation of the captivity. The generation under Babylon. They were told that they will have a kingdom that will never perish. And here they were. The kingdom is nowhere. They were under a foreign kingdom. God's faithfulness. And I'm sure many of those pious Israelites must have wallowed in doubt and questions. Paano mo masasabing tapat ang Diyos? Hindi ba't nangako siya ng isang walang hanggang kaharian sa pamagitan ni David at ng anak ni David? Narito tayo ngayon, wala na ang kaharian. Wasak na ang templo. At ang naghahari sa atin ngayon ay mga kaaway. Paano naging tapat ang Diyos sa kanyang salita? And are you having same questions and doubts as you look at the year 2010? Now, to convince himself that God has not been remiss in his faithfulness, the writer reflects on what? The mercies of God. Even though the kingdom is not to be seen, even though it seems the temple is now totally destroyed, how can you say God is still faithful? The writer reflects this on the mercies of God. And this is so instructive for our year-end reflection as we do this December. Has God been faithful to you? Has God been faithful to me? And we may try to measure that or answer that by our successes this year. Have I had a career movement upwards? Have I had material gains in terms of multiplication? May I suggest that we measure it by the evidences of God's mercies on our day-to-day life? And when we say God's mercies, I have three characterizations of those mercies as the writer here suggests. How do we characterize the mercies of God? First, they are convicting. Second, they are continuing. And third, they are confirming. They are convicting, sila'y nanunumbat. They are continuing, sila'y tuloy-tuloy. They are confirming, sila'y nagpapatibay. Kaya pag-iisipin natin ang mga kahabagan ng Diyos sa taong 2010, ito sana ang maging epekto sa atin. First of all, the mercies of God are convicting. Listen to the words of the writer. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed because His compassions fail not. Now, while it can have positive meanings, such as being complete, when used in the negative sense, such as in our text, consumed means destruction. What is the writer saying? In effect, is we are in exile. Hey, look, but we are not destroyed. And why are we not destroyed even though we are under exile? Because God has been merciful upon us. We should have been destroyed totally because of our sins. And the fact that we're not, even though we're under exile, only proves the mercies of God. That's the way the writer reasoned. He was looking at the mercies of God from the perspective of what he deserves in sin. And what an instructive way of reflecting on the mercies of God. Consider the mercies of God as being dispensed on us who deserve the opposite judgment. Yan ang isang magandang pagmumuni ng kahabagan ng Diyos. Isipin mo ang mga kahabagan ng Diyos na ang karapat-dapat sa atin ay yung kabaligtarang hatol. Yung kabaligtarang parusa ang dapat na ibinigay sa atin. And that is biblical thinking. When we think of the mercies we receive in the light of the opposite we deserve, and in many ways, God's dealing with Israel in the wilderness may be analogous to our own experience. Psalm 78, for example, is a psalm that reflects on the experiences of the Israelites. And you might say, the wilderness wasn't that the theater of many of God's punishment of His people? And I answer, yes, it is. Think of the plague of the boils, plague of the serpents, and many other plagues that happened to the Israelites in the wilderness. God punished them for their sins, but He did not destroy them. And Psalm 78 reflects that. Listen to verse 38. But He, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity and did not destroy them. Pinarusahan sila, sila'y dinisiplina, ngunit hindi sila pinuksa. And yes, the psalmist said, many a time He turned His anger away and did not stir up all His wrath. And you ask yourself, isn't that true of us in the year 2010? Or listen to this in Psalm 103, 10, and 11, more familiar words. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is His mercy. So this is biblical thinking. When you think of the mercies of God, you are enjoying them against the fact that you deserve the judgment of God. And the exile became bearable to the writer of Lamentations when perceived as less than what he deserved. Oo, alipin tayo ng isang foreign power, alipin tayo ng Babylonia, pero dapat ngay pinuksa tayo, pero narito pa rin tayo, ito'y kahabagan ng Diyos. If God really delivered according to their just desert, they would have been completely destroyed. But out of mercy, we are not consumed. In other words, when sometimes you feel God's providence is heavy on you, one biblical way of taking that is, I deserve worse. And when I do not get what I deserve, and I see more of what I do not deserve in the mercies of God, it should make us praise Him. The mercies of God are convicting. We know that it was President Truman of the United States who made the decision to drop the atomic bomb first on Hiroshima on August 6, 1945, and 3 days later on August 9 in Nagasaki. And you might think that it must have been a very agonizing decision. Well, it was. But when he was no longer president, when he was interviewed, he in fact said, relatively speaking, it was one of the easier decisions I needed to make. Because he knew the decision of Japan was not to surrender. They had access to its secret communications. And if Japan did not surrender, they knew that the war will drag on for years with more casualties. And all that Truman did was to make the simple arithmetic. If I drop the bomb, thousands perish, but millions spared. And he made the decision. In other words, even though many were apparently treated so harshly, the fact of the matter was that it was a decision that thought of the many more spared. Now think of it that way. Sometimes we feel an atomic bomb was dropped on us in terms of sudden sickness, affliction, needs financially, family problems, and we feel it must have been a nuclear bomb, yet actually God is thinking of what more to spare. That's how Paul spoke to the Corinthians when he was talking of the judgment of God on them in the way they desecrated the Lord's Supper, where he said, you are judged now that you may not be judged with the world. It's an act of mercy. Now the challenge here, brethren, is conviction of sin is the fruit of a true appreciation of the mercy of God. Yung panunumbat sa kasalanan ay bunga ng totoong pagkilala ng kahabagan ng Diyos. Maraming kumikilala ng kahabagan ng Diyos o ang lengguwahe ng kahabagan ng Diyos ay nasa kanilang labi pero bilib na bilib sa sarili. Na para bang yung kahabagan ng Diyos ay dapat lamang sa kanila. And what they fail to realize is the great misnomer of thinking of mercy and then thinking of what they deserve. You don't put those two things together. You don't put what I deserve with the mercy of God. When you speak of mercy, immediately the adjective that follows is undeserved. And what I deserve is the judgment of God. And the problem is that it is so second nature to us to think of what we positively deserve, what we have earned. And this is the root of that most damning belief in salvation by personal merits and good works. And if I'm still speaking to any one of you who still clings to that possibility of God accepting you because you're good, because you're smart, because you've done well, you are holding to a damning belief. No, you will never be saved by your works. Salvation is undeserved. It is grace, grace, grace from beginning to end. And I ask you to come to Christ only with that sense of a sinner begging for mercy. And in the wisdom of God, that's how He deals with us, day by day. He concocts for us a combination of the bitter and the sweet. Ang Diyos sa kanyang karunungan ang nagtitimpla sa atin ng mapait at ng matamis. At huwag tayong magreklamo sa mapait. And certainly this year has been a witness to our weaknesses, our failings, our offenses, and yes, our sins. Many of those sins are between you and your God. Nobody knows. But any one of those sins could have caused your consumption, our consumption. But then, as the writer of Lamentations says, it is by the mercies of God that we are not consumed. So rather than complain about the roughness of God's providence in your life, be convicted of sin. And you know what? The greatest of the saints are those who would not pander to their idea of earned or deserved blessings because of their righteousness. They always talked sincerely of how they felt about their sins. Listen to a part of John Calvin's last will as he was giving final instructions as he knew he was dying soon, 1564. In one part of that last will, he said, "With goodness and mercy, God has graciously and kindly borne with my multiplied transgressions and sins, for which I deserve to be rejected and cut off by him." Brethren, this is John Calvin. John Calvin, saintly, deeply knowledgeable, greatly influential. And when he talked of himself, he was talking of his multiplied transgressions and sins for which he deserved to be rejected by God. That's the man who will appreciate the mercy of God. And I ask you, end this year with that note of conviction of sin that will enable you to say, whatever I'm now experiencing in terms of the heaviness of God's hand, I deserve worse. And yet it is by the mercies of God I am not consumed. God's mercies are convicting. Secondly, God's mercies are continuing. Again, listen to the words. Because his compassions fail not, they are new every morning. And this became the obvious source of our hymn that says, morning by morning, new mercies I see. Now, the two words here are related expressions of the mercy of God. Mercies refer to the covenantal promises of God. Compassion suggests the more emotional side of pity on our misery. And God has both. God has both mercies and compassions. Nothing surprising there. What's surprising, or the big thing, is that it says they fail not. They are new every morning. You know what it is saying? God has not stopped being merciful to his people on any and every day of their lives. Hindi tumigil na maging mahabagi ng Diyos sa kanyang mga tao sa anumang araw at sa araw-araw ng kanilang buhay. God has not stopped being merciful on any and every day of our lives. Now, let me explain here that we have here an accommodated language in order to grip our human understanding. It is not the case that God's mercies are exhausted by the evening and then he needs new supplies in the morning. Well, we need that for our cell phone batteries. They are spent, mine at least, are spent. I spent by the end of the day, and I need fresh supply by rechargeable. And then by morning, I have fresh battery. Now, God is not like that. God's mercies are not being spent by the end of the day, and then renewed and recharged by the morning. Rather, to accommodate to our human understanding, it is simply saying, do not worry that you have spent God's mercy. When you have lived by the mercies of God one day, you wake up the next day still with fresh mercies from God. And this is the significance of the plural mercies, compassions. They are numerous, they are generous. Mga kahabaga ng Diyos, marami sila, maluwag sila na ibinibigay ng Diyos. Hindi maramot ang ating Diyos. There is enough in God's mercy that meets every predicament and condition of the believer. One of the early crises after the Second World War was the so-called Cold War, and one of the first flashpoints of the so-called Cold War between the communist East led by the Soviet Union and the democracy, Western democracy led by the United States was in Berlin. The Soviets suddenly blockaded their part of Berlin so that the Allied forces cannot pass through. The West responded with what is now known in history as the Berlin Airlift for 1 year, from June 1948 to May 1949, more than 200,000 flights of daily provisions landed on the city. And you say, surely there must be some political motive with that. Maybe. But still, that was the power of Western democracies. Flight of daily provision on one city. And I say, do you think the Allied forces can do that and God's hand is shortened? No. Daily, there are mercies of God. They are continuing. And the challenge is be sensitive to the mercies of God on a day-by-day basis. Maging sensitibo ka sa mga kahabagan ng Diyos sa araw-araw. And by the end of this year, we would have lived 365 days in which not one day was God's mercy absent. Think of that. Not one day of these 365 days of 2010 was God's mercy absent. But I ask myself, how many days have my praise, my gratitude been absent in recognizing the mercies of God? If God were to check my attendance of praise and gratitude by UP standard, I would have been dropped. And you would have been dropped. If God were to check attendance, did you praise me today? Did you express gratitude today? How many days were we absent? God never was. God never was absent. And yet we often are. And yet daily, we are told, morning by morning. And this is the basis of such statement of sanctification, 2 Corinthians 4:16, which we meditated upon recently. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. A renewing day begins with gratitude for mercy. And it is not insignificant that mourning is mentioned here. It tells you and me, what's your mornings, brother and sister? Bantayan mo ang iyong umaga. Watch your mornings with God and with the world. Bantayan mo ang iyong umaga kung ikaw ay magsisimula at mag-uumpisa sa papuri sa Diyos, pagkilala ng kanyang kahabagan. You know, I have a student whom we already graduated but still keeps attending and is now 82 or 83 years old. And he told me once, every time he wakes up, the first thing he utters sincerely, "Thank God I'm alive." Well, maybe at his age, that's something that naturally comes to mind. But certainly, you and me have reasons from the very time we open our eyes to think of a mercy of God. Watch your mornings. C.H. Spurgeon published in his closing years, perhaps you are familiar with his morning and evening devotions, towards the closing years of his life, he published the more mature product of his devotions called Faith's Checkbook. It's a day-to-day meditation on the promises of God, 366 days in all. Every day a promise. And yet, it was written in a period of controversy, known as the downgrade controversy, when he had enemies all around him. And in those days, he relished the promises of God. And good instruction to us. What promise have you been thankful to God for lately? Those mercies are continuing. And finally, those mercies are confirming. Again, the words, These I recall to my mind, that is, the mercies, the compassions of God. These I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. And then he repeats it, the Lord is my portion, therefore I hope in Him. In both cases, the reason for hoping for the future is the thought of God's mercy, which proves His faithfulness. It is not the circumstances, mind you. The circumstances were woeful. They were under Babylon. They were slaves in a foreign land. The circumstances were woeful, yet the Lord is present. His word is present. His mercies are evident. I hope in God. That's his response. So here, the mercies of God are calculated to confirm His promises, no matter the circumstances. And this is where faith is always challenged. On the one side, promise of God. On the other side, circumstances. Diyan laging hahamunin yung ating pananampalataya. Sa isang panig, mga pangako ng Diyos, salita niya. Sa kabilang panig, nakikita mo yung mga kalagayan. Ang sinasabi sa iyo ng iyong kalagayan, mabigat. Ang sinasabi ng pangako ng Diyos, kaya mo sa aking biyaya. Ang sinasabi ng kalagayan, kulang ka. At ang sinasabi ng pangako ng Diyos, may kasapatan kay Kristo. And ang pananampalataya ay mahamon, makikinig ka ba sa sinasabi ng kalagayan mo, ng paligid mo, o sa, makikinig ka sa sinasabi ng pangako ng Diyos. The mercies of God, even amidst the condition of the exile, awaken the hope of the writer here. Now, did those mercies change the misery of the exile? No. Did it change the power of Babylon? No. But then God's mercies confirmed him in his hope. And consider the many forms of God's mercies on us amidst the multiple miseries of earthly life in the year 2010. I can tell you many. Let me just cite one that every Christian, as we end this year, should have inexhaustible reason to praise Him for: daily preservation so that we persevere in faith. Yung araw-araw niyang pag-iingat upang tayo ay ingatan sa ating pananampalataya. This is no little mercy, brethren. Perhaps on a given day, you've been surrounded by people who hurt you. Money that didn't come by as expected. Expenses that went over your head. And many, many more. But then you end the day in prayer, which proves you're still God's. You still belong to Christ. You still have the Holy Spirit animating your spirit. Which means the day ends with you persevering in faith. Where does that come from? Me resolved? No. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. This grace has brought me safe thus far. And grace will lead me home. John Bunyan depicted this so vividly in The Pilgrim's Progress. When Christian was in the interpreter's house, he saw a fire on the wall, burning on. And yet, there was that man who represented the devil pouring water on it. And yet he wondered why the fire wasn't quenched. And the interpreter showed him at the back of the wall, there was Christ pouring oil. As the devil was pouring water to quench the fire, Christ at the other side was pouring oil to match the water, and so the fire keeps burning. And that's what you and I experience day by day. How many pail of water was poured on the fire of faith, and yet you end the day still believing in God, believing in Christ. Why so? God has preserved you. That's no little mercy. And we can add to preservation so many, many more day by day. Which means let God's word of promise be the bigger truth to you than all the forces of circumstances. And here we say we are better off than the author of Lamentations when it comes to the truth of God's faithfulness and mercy. Now, I'm not saying that God is more faithful now than the day of Lamentations, or God is more merciful now than the Day of Lamentations? No, I'm saying that the Lamentation author can only hope for a strict future of God's favor. You and I have it now and in the future. Now and the future. We now have it in part, and we will have it in full in the future. Even now we may enjoy the beginnings of the favor of God in salvation, in communion. Yes, there are still the miseries of life that God did not promise to remove from the believer. Beware of false promises. God did not promise that we will never be sick. God never promised that we will never be at a loss for wherewithal for our expenses. No, God did not promise that. But amidst the miseries of life, there are the promises that God will never leave us nor forsake us. Again, John Bunyan, beyond his book, Pilgrim's Progress, and many more that he has written, is a good illustration of this, because he did his best works, including Pilgrim's Progress, while in prison in Bedford in England. I had the opportunity to visit that prison, now a museum, and syempre pinaganda na nila, but I try to imagine what it must be like back in those days. Must be a dark dungeon. Yet out of that, Pilgrim's Progress was completed, the Holy War, and many other writings of this great man in prison amidst the misery. He knew the faithful God. As we end this year soon, let it be our confession. God has been faithful to us this year. Not first in money, not first in career, but in mercies. They are countless. And when we think of them, let us think of them as convicting, as continuing, and as confirming. And let us sing a praise to that thought of the mercy of God. Give to our God immortal praise. Mercy and truth are all his ways. Wonders of grace to God belong. Repeat his mercies in your song. And repeatedly it says, his mercies ever shall endure when lords and kings are known no more. May that be our conviction of the mercies that we have been beneficiaries of in the year 2010. Let's close in prayer. Dakila naming Diyos at aming matapat na Ama, tunay nga na sa nalalapit na pagtatapos ng taong ito na kami ay magmuni-muni sa mga bagay na aming pinagdaanan, naway masabi namin ng buong sinseridad ang sinabi rito ng aming talata na dakila ang iyong katapatan. At bagamat maaring may mga hirap kaming pinagdaanan, hindi maitutumbas sa hirap na naranasan ng may akda ng panaghoy sa panahon ng kanilang exile. And yet, it was on that occasion that he used such language of recognizing your faithfulness. And your faithfulness can be seen in the light of the evidences of your mercies. So grant, Lord, that we may see your mercies. And these mercies are truly convicting, because with the author we say that it is through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, teaching us that appreciating your mercy always involves conviction of sin. It always involves the confession we do not deserve your mercy. We deserve the opposite. For in many ways we have our flaws, we have our shortcomings, we have our sins, and many of them perhaps are only between you and our sins, and yet you can see them, and any one of them can be a just reason for you to consume us, but you did not, because you are a merciful God. So grant that we may be convicted even as we perceive your mercies. Grant that we may appreciate the continuing nature, continuing duration of your mercies, that your compassions fail not, that they are new every morning. And may we therefore be sensitive to the mercies of God on a day-by-day basis. For you have not stopped being merciful on any and every day of our lives. We pray then on a practical note, that we may learn to watch even our mournings, that we may learn to utter a recognition and confession and praise to your mercies. And your mercies are confirming when we are challenged by the circumstances that tell us life is miserable, that our equipping is short, that our surroundings beset us. May we learn and have enough faith to hold fast to your promises, for the mercies of God are calculated to confirm your promises no matter the circumstances. And we therefore believe that there is enough in your mercies to address every predicament of our circumstances. Help us then to hold to your word of promise as the bigger truth, indeed the more powerful force than all the forces of circumstances. When we think of your many blessings day by day, and just to think that we are being preserved day by day when just about any force could have sideswiped us and made us apostates, but we are here. We will end the year 2010 by your grace, not because of our resolve, not because of our strength, but only out of your grace. May we therefore truly give praise, give to our God immortal praise, because your mercies ever shall endure. We pray all these things with thanksgiving. In Jesus' name, amen.